Master, what is the great commandment in the law? It's a bit of a trick question by this one who is questioning Christ. It is possible that he wants to trap him in his words. There were 613 commandments in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. So maybe to get him to emphasize one instead of another and then begin to trap him in his words. And so it's possible that. In Mark's gospel, there is one who asks him that question sincerely, wanting to know the answer and seeking. But here it seems like the question is a trick one. And the Lord Jesus answers with the first commandment from the book of Deuteronomy, that the Lord thy God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, with all of thy mind, with all of thy strength. So that's the first commandment. Then he takes another of the commandments from Leviticus, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So he does pull from the Old Testament in two commandments, but here is the novel thing. He states them in a new way as the summary of the law. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So he brings them forth, and we now are blessed to have this gift of Christ showing us how we are to interpret the law, those things that we should or should not do, how we understand what is right and wrong, always through the understanding, through the prism of loving God and loving others. These two come together. They are held together. I told yesterday the blessing of the animals, and I'm very grateful for Father Gassatura. He's a natural in his work as a priest and did the blessing yesterday, and it was a nice gathering. Thank you to all who came, and I'm always blessed at the blessing of the animals because my dog needs a blessing. But also, it's interesting, as soon you have a lot of, excitement in the air, and the dogs are picking up on that. They're restless. But as soon as we start praying, they calm down. And it was very nice to see that. I did have the opportunity to tell a little story that I want to share again in the context of this sermon. And it had to do with my parents who were visiting friends in Montana. My dad's former law partner had invited them up to do some fishing in the Swift Rivers. And then they came back for dinner, and the hunting dog was washed off in the mudroom and then brought into the kitchen. And the rule in that house is the dog stays in the kitchen, the tile floor, dog in the kitchen. My dad did notice that the dog was an interpreter of rules, because after the drinks started flowing and the appetizers were served and the dinner began to go, he noticed that the dog had his head on the carpet, body in the kitchen, but head on the carpet in the dining room. And then came the one of his legs, and then by the end of the dinner, his whole body was on the carpet in the dining room with one toe in the kitchen. And my dad said, "That's a lawyer's dog." The dog knows how to interpret the law. And it's funny to us because we're oftentimes interpreting the law, trying to figure out how the rule might work to our advantage. If we're cunning, we're very good at finding the loopholes and how to work around the law and begin to work these things to our advantage. We see in last week's gospel, we had the sad report in the gospel of that time that Jesus had to challenge the religious authority of his time to say, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" And they couldn't answer him. They didn't know. And when he had healed on the Sabbath day before, they saw him as breaking the commandment not to heal on the Sabbath. And he said, "Well, which of you has an ox or an ass falling into a ditch and you don't pull it out on the Sabbath day?" Didn't they understand that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath? "Let us give this man a rest. He had the dropsy. He was full of edema. He was swollen to the point where your skin might split. He was in a very painful condition. And Jesus delivered him on the Sabbath day." He shows us that the summary of the law is the spirit of the law. And that is key for us. The summary of the law can be for us a way to understand the spirit of the law. And so, yes, you keep a holy Sabbath, but it is lawful to heal on the Sabbath day because God loves his people. And this man is being delivered on the Sabbath day. He is finding his rest on the Sabbath day. And so it may be for us as we begin to march through this wilderness on the pilgrim path, as we begin to decide what is right or wrong, to first think, okay, what is right with God? And what I'm doing, is it full of the love of God? But not to be so blinded by the love of God that I forget my neighbor, like the zeal they had for the law was blinding them to the plight of the man with edema, and they objected to his being healed. Well, that's a certain blindness. And indeed, even religious fanatics, they can be some of the most blind people to the needs of others, to the reality of what people need. And so there is that companion, the two held conjointly, the love of God and the love of our neighbor together. And that shows us the way. It shows us how to interpret the situation. And if we're ever in moral doubt about something, whether it's right or wrong, let us ask, okay, if I make this decision, is it going to please God? Is this a way that I can love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength? And is it loving my neighbor? Both together. And we'll see the clarity come into our mind. The world will offer us all kinds of things, but we are to resist, and by the grace of God helping us, resist the temptations of the world, of the flesh, and the devil, and to begin to question it, to begin to operate from the calculus of the kingdom of heaven and not from the calculus of the world. It's a beautiful story about St. Francis that shows us the way this can be done, the way that this can issue out into the liberty that is our birthright as children of God. And we're in the octave of the Feast of St. Francis. He died in the year Anno Domini 1226, is when he had his transitus. And he left quite a legacy for the church. The founder of the Franciscan order, and one who loved God. And a beautiful story that is told, that he told his brothers about his own conversion. Now, before his conversion, St. Francis, then Francisco, was the son of a wealthy cloth merchant, and he was a man of the world. He loved the things of the world. He was easy prey for the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil. In today's parlance, he'd be considered a rich playboy. He had a wild life. And he was very into the things that the world would offer. He was seeking fame and fortune. He delighted in the pleasures that the world could offer. But there came a time when he became more serious about God, especially after misadventures in battle and imprisonment. And in his recovery, he began to think more on the things of God and began to pray to God. And in his prayers, he heard God challenge him to ask him, "Who is Lord? Who is your Lord?" And that really unsettled him. At this time of the prayer and the really thinking about who is Lord of his life, who would he answer to? Who is Lord of his life? He was with his companions, military companions, and he decided to leave the camp. He was at liberty to do that. So he got on his horse and he started back to Assisi. Now, St. Francis told his brothers that before his conversion, there was one great fear that he had, and that was a fear of contracting leprosy. At that time, leprosy was endemic in the Western Europe, and in Assisi and in other towns of Italy, they would push the lepers out of the city walls. So within the wall, you're protected; outside the wall, you're not. And they actually had services where if somebody had leprosy, they would have a ceremony where they'd be stripped of their belongings, they would be cast out of the city. Not only was it a way to protect the other citizens from the contagious disease, it was also a way to shame and shun the one who was considered ill because of some debauchery. So the sickness they had was associated with some kind of moral failure. So the township would shun them. So they would be given, as they left the city, they'd be given a bell that they were to ring to warn anybody of their approach. And that was their plight. They were outside the protection of the city walls. And not far from Assisi, there was a leper colony. And Francis would go nowhere near that place. It had a certain smell that offended him, that frightened him. he would go nowhere near it, stay about a mile away from that place. As Francis was coming into Assisi on his horse, still armed as a soldier, he heard between him and the wall of Assisi the approach of a leper, the clanging, clank, clank, clank of the leper's bell. And in his mind, he recoiled, as he was accustomed to do. He was going to go some other way. But his horse kept going forward, and his heart kept going forward. And so he was struggling with his thoughts, with his heart. His heart pressed forward. And empowered by the love of God, who was strengthening his spirit, he dismounted his horse. He approached the leper, opened his arms, and embraced him. It was a pivotal moment. If you go to Assisi today, there's a statue of St. Francis on the horse outside the town where this occurred. It wouldn't be long after that Francis would approach the leper colony, that he would begin to bathe the lepers, begin to treat them, even begin to kiss their wounds. And Francis says, in the biographical statements that are attributed to St. Francis, he recounts, "When I was in my sins," says St. Francis, "when I was in my sins, it seemed a thing too bitter to look on lepers. And the Lord himself led me among them, and I showed them mercy. And when I left them, what had seemed bitter to me was changed into sweetness of mind and body." So, what is the right thing to do on the pilgrim path? Here, Francis, motivated by the love of God, love him with all heart, soul, mind, and strength, no longer fears death and embraces a brother, loves his neighbor as he would love himself, shows him mercy. And that example of Francis showing mercy was so inspirational to his brothers in the early community that they too began to take care of the lepers. And some will say, in the history of Europe, that became a pivot point for the establishment of hospitals in Western Europe. Some will say it became the pivot point for the eradication of leprosy in Western Europe. The love of God, the love of others. We see it in the life of St. Francis. And may we be so inspired by God's love and loving him above all things as true Lord, loving him with heart, soul, mind, and strength, seek to love others and allow the kingdom to transform the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.